Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Now, matters completely different. Well, no, not exactly completely different. Kathleen Murray, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Philip.
Because one of the things that I want to talk to you about is the rise of pandemic puppies. And now that people are returning to work, what kind of difficulties they're going to face if they are dog owners for the first time. Are you hearing about a lot of people now who are facing behavioural problems because this is the first dog that they have had?
Yeah, for first-time owners, it's particularly difficult because they don't have the experience of having previous dogs, or the dog they would have had before would have been in their childhood when their parents were looking after it and they just played with it. So, there is a drastic rise in numbers, there's no doubt about it. And but, you know, when they go back to work, there's a lot of things that they can do, so they don't have to despair and they don't have to give up their dog. There's so many steps they can take to prepare their dog for when they go back to work, and that'll help a lot for them.
Go on, like what?
Okay, well, one thing is, dogs are not naturally inclined to want to be alone because they would normally live in groups. So in the natural world, but so you have to acclimatise your dog to be able to spend a bit of time by themselves. So what you can do is you can start off by maybe leaving them in another room or somewhere comfortable by themselves for maybe 2 or 3 minutes, and if they can handle that well, then let them come back out again, and then put them in again maybe later in the day or the next day for 2 or 3 minutes by themselves with a comfortable bed and a toy or whatever, and then let them back out, and then build that up over a period of a few days until you can leave them in there for maybe half an hour and then take them back out. And of course give them their play times and their exercise times and everything as well, but it helps them to know that they can get back out again. It helps them to know that they're not going to be left there forever, and if you build it up in baby steps very slowly, they'll get used to it very quickly. Another thing you can do when you go back to work as well is you can maybe enlist the help of a family member or a neighbour or somebody to come in maybe and let them out to go to the toilet for a toilet break and feed them, or you can book them into doggy daycare as well, so you know that they have company and they're well looked after for the day as well. So there's loads of things that people can do when they go back to work.
Indeed. Now, before we go on to listeners' questions, there's one other really kind of important issue since the weather has improved is people leaving dogs in cars. Basically, cracking the window open is not any kind of relief for a dog who's been left in a car, is it?
No, absolutely not. Because, you know, if it's 21 degrees outside, it's 32 degrees in the car within 10 minutes. So, and opening the windows doesn't release that all that much. You really need to open the doors. You need to get the dog out of there. And even leaving it in a shady spot, it's no good either, because the heat can build up in a shady spot as well. But some people are under the impression that it's only in cars that this can happen. This can happen in your backyard as well. If you don't have any shade for your dog, you know, if you don't have anywhere that the dog can cool off. And even within the house, you need to keep the house fairly cool if you can. So there's lots of things that people can do to prevent the thing. You know, you can have a fan going. You can, you know, have some cool water, not cold water or icy water. You know, there's lots of things that you can have the dog lie on a wet towel to help to calm them down a bit and cool them down as well.
And what are the signs of heat stroke, Kathleen?
Well, the symptoms would be, you know, excessive panting. If your dog is panting excessively, or if they're a bit unsteady on their feet because they can get dizzy from heat stroke as well, or if they're drooling, there's lots of things that can happen to a dog. They can collapse, lose consciousness, you know, they can have vomiting or diarrhea and things. It can happen very quickly for a dog. You know, it's just not the ideal thing. The best way to prevent all of this, basically, is not to take them out in the heat of the day. If you're going to walk the dog, maybe take them out early in the morning or later in the evening when things are much cooler, you know, and never ever leave them in the car, because it really is a terrible place. And remember that the sun moves around during the day, so if your dog is shaded in one corner of your house or your yard, or never put it into a glass porch either, anywhere there's glass, the sun will just come in and heat the place up.
I think you had most people convinced after vomiting and diarrhea, really, Kathleen, that this is, you know, a good reason just to keep the dogs out of cars at this time of year. But one of the things that I suppose we don't think about is, on the really, really hot days, what about the surfaces that we're asking dogs to walk on, particularly when the tarmac, the asphalt in roads gets sticky? Not a very comfortable experience for them.
No, absolutely not. The rule of thumb really is if it's too hot for you, it's too hot for the too hot for the dog.
Too hot for you in your bare feet, you mean?
Yeah. So have a walk around yourself on the pavement, because if the air outside say is 25 degrees, that pavement is 51 degrees, because the pavement heats up much more than the air. And the same with sand on a beach. People don't often think of sand on a beach. If you walk in sand on a beach, you'll burn your feet as well. It'll be incredibly hot and uncomfortable if you're out in the heat of the day and the temperatures are high. So think of that. Say, if the rule of thumb is if it's too hot for your feet, it's too hot for the dog.
51551 for the texts. How do I stop my rescue dog from barking at my hubby? Send the husband to a shelter might be one way, but go on. Have you got any ideas?
Lose the husband, you think? Well, I think it depends on why. There's so many different reasons why a dog would bark at a particular person. They can bark to play. It might be an invitation to play. They may be a bit overwhelmed and scared. They may be just excited. There's a lot of different reasons. So it depends on the reason. So if you get to the root cause of it, then you can work with that.
Our almost 100% Labrador takes to running around in circles around me, around the garden, with a bone, around an open field. What's this about?
That's just a very exuberant dog that needs to run. That dog needs a lot of exercise, obviously. And when it does get to run, it likes to run a lot. If it's a young dog, sometimes young dogs get very hyper, especially in the evening time. They like to run a lot, and it's like the crazy half hour where they don't know what direction even to run. They're just running. So young dogs tend to do that a lot. So what you can do is exercise and play with them during times like that, because it doesn't last all that long. But exercising a dog is incredibly important. So remember to take your dog out more than once in the day. Two short walks is better than one long walk for a dog.
My 2-year-old female golden retriever will not listen to me outside my house. She loves the beach and playing with other dogs, so I hate keeping her on the lead, but she will not come back when I call her and runs really far out into the sea chasing birds. Also runs away in enclosed fields if she spots a hare and tries to jump over walls. Help! They say, with 3 P's and an exclamation mark.
She's having a great time. She's doing everything she ever wanted. Her bucket list is good. So what you have to do with a dog like that is, sometimes people jump from 1 to 60 sort of thing too fast. You need to break it down and work with the dog. The obedience training has to start off in baby steps. There's like 3 different levels you can go with it. The first one is teaching the dog to come back when they're called within a confined space, like a kitchen or another room or whatever within the house. Then calling the dog from one room to another. And then you start calling the dog outside, and then calling the dog inside from outside, so that you're building it up slowly as you go along. Then you can take a longer lead maybe, and during a walk you can practice calling the dog back whenever they're maybe sniffing at something, and then you can call them and get them to come back there.
And do you reward them with a treat?
Oh, absolutely, because nobody goes to work without money, you know, so you need to motivate your dog. You need to have something for your dog to work for, and their favourite food always works, but only give their absolute favourite food for recall, for getting them to come back when they're called, because that needs to be a really high-value treat, because there are so many distractions out there.
Treats just when you need to feel good and you want your dog to love you, only when they have come back in response to their name.
Yeah, absolutely. But build it up slowly. Do it around the house a lot first. Do it in and out. Set up some distractions for them, even in the garden. Even just go outside the gate, take a walk along the pavement, come back in again. You know, build it up slowly so that the dog learns to listen to you in all circumstances. But don't expect it just to go from the house to out into a very distractive, you know, environment and listen to you then, because that's not going to happen.
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at your answer. I'm laughing at the next question, because I'm not really sure that I understand the dilemma. I read to my dog at bedtime. Is this okay? A texter asks.
Knock yourself out. Anything that, you know, anything that works for you works for the dog. You know, it's great, because you're spending social time with the dog. You're actually communicating, talking. I mean, the dog doesn't understand the story.
Prefer you to throw a stick, but, you know, in the absence of somewhere big enough to throw a stick, I'm sure reading a book will do the job just fine. How do I stop my little 8-week-old collie pup from nipping?
Yeah, 8-week-old pups, they're great. Pups all nip. That's a given for sure, because they're teething. There's lots of things that they're going through. They've lots of energy. They're motivated by movement. They're very excited when they're young. So movement will attract them. And that's why they tend to latch on to trousers or cardigans and things belonging to children when they're running along too, or the back of their legs. So have things that the dog can tease on, have things that they can crunch on with their teeth, and then make the distinct difference in it's not your leg, you know, it's not your hand. Because some people start off playing with the pup and saying, oh, it's okay, I don't mind, because you know, they're young. And the habit starts, they don't stop the habit soon enough, and then the habit continues on. So you can, there's several different things you can do. You can have the puppy up in your lap, and if the puppy latches onto your finger, you can actually put the puppy on the floor immediately and stop the play. Or you can put the puppy outside the door for a second and then bring them back in again, and then repeat it again until the puppy realizes that every time they put their hand, their teeth on your hand, that's the mistake, and reward them when they don't. Or you can just put something into the pup's mouth, a toy, and then you know, calmly play with the puppy then. But if you exercise the puppy and play with them around the floor and make them run a little bit, that'll take the edge off them. And then play with them when they're calmer and when they're quieter and when they're getting sleepy again. Indeed. Because pups sleep a lot.
Now, you're going to love this one. My 8-year-old golden retriever is delighted that the local pub is open. She hears the fun down the road and she's off. We live in the country and she heads off down the road. It is a full-time job collecting her. I could just see the scene in that house now. Where have you been? Oh, I was just collecting the 8-year-old golden retriever from the pub again. She's a divil for disappearing off down the pub now that they're open.
Yeah, well, there are several red flags that come up there. One is, number one, it's illegal to have your dog off your property unattended. Number two is, I dread to think what's going on in the pub, because people will be dropping all kinds of things, encouraging the dog to drink beer. You know, your dog's in a lot of danger in a place
and the,
like
and
that.
The dog is only 8, not 18.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the people will be giving them crisps, they'll be throwing chips at them, they'll be, you know, encouraging them for the laugh to have a drink of beer and things. So your dog is in a lot of danger. So I would find some way to secure your property so the dog cannot get out of there, that it's escape proof.
Indeed. All right, yeah. Kathleen, as always, thank you so much. Mine, a very, very useful information. We're going to have to leave it there. I'm completely out of time. That's Kathleen Murray, owner of Doggy Do's and Don'ts in Donegal.